Isaiah 41, 14 to 21. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I sent? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Ephesians 5:8-14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Hoda. This is one of the longest readings that we have throughout the entire year. But this is an absolutely fascinating, even hilarious story. So, and I'll need your help to read it. So wherever the print is in red, then we'll all read together. The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John 9, verses 1 to 41. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought him to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and I washed and I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, He is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son? And you say he was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered him, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Please be seated. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. And that is a long but fascinating story. I'm going to start by telling a story I've told a few times. So some of you know this story. I'm telling it because I can't, and I've tried, but I can't come up with a better way to illustrate the real issues at heart in this story about the man born blind. Before I went to seminary in 2001, I worked for a large bank. It was the oldest bank in Washington State, an excellent institution with an impeccable reputation as a place to work and as a place to do your banking. Seattle First National Bank, SeaFirst. I was proud to work there. Like most banks, this bank issued Affinity credit cards. An Affinity credit card is issued on behalf of a nonprofit organization. For example, if the Oregon State Beavers Booster Club arranged to have an Affinity card, it would probably be orange colored, have a picture of a beaver, and when you used this credit card to purchase something, a very, very tiny percentage of the money that the issuing bank would receive would instead go to the Oregon State Booster Club. I don't know if Oregon State has an Affinity credit card, but I can see several of you, if they did, you'd have them. So these Affinity credit cards were a mechanism for nonprofit organizations to raise money, and they were a source of profit for the bank. In the early 1990s, The local gay pride organization in Seattle requested that my bank issue an affinity card in its name. The bank agreed. It was a business decision. The bank was a business. That week, the Seattle Times newspaper published a story about this agreement between SeaFirst Bank and the Gay Pride organization. This was in the early 90s, remember. Everyone read the newspaper. Everyone. That Sunday, as usual, we went to the very large church we attended. The pastor had read the article. He was livid. He marched back and forth across the huge stage in front of the sanctuary, imploring the gathered worshipers to punish SeaFirst Bank for this decision. If you have a mortgage with SeaFirst Bank, refinance. If you have an account with SeaFirst Bank, close it. As I sat in the pew that morning and at home later that afternoon, I considered seriously if I should quit my job at SeaFirst Bank. We like to eat, so I didn't. I've mentioned before that we tend to divide the world into two camps, sinners and saints, good guys and bad guys, us and them. Looking at other people that way, as being either sinner or saint, is not only grossly inaccurate, it robs you of peace and the assurance that God loves you. What do I mean? What do I mean if you divide the world into sinner and saint, us and them? What do I mean that ultimately damages you? To answer that, let's take a look at the story of Jesus healing this man born blind that we just read, and the Pharisees in Jerusalem reacting to that healing. This is maybe the most over-the-top episode in the New Testament, and it sparked a debate in the streets about whether Jesus himself is a sinner or a saint. The story starts when Jesus and his entourage passed by a man born blind. One of the disciples asked, "Who's to blame for this? Who sinned?" And Jesus explained, "That's not the issue. We're not here to assign blame. The issue is that God will take this unfortunate event and create something good out of it." And of course, the implication is that God will take what is unfortunate in your life, and in your life also, He'll create something good out of it. But back to the story. Jesus healed the man who was blind from birth, and immediately the neighborhood erupted. Those who'd known the man all his life as the blind beggar, and now saw him walking around, able to see like anyone else, were flabbergasted. And the question arose in the neighborhood, is this even the same guy? How could that possibly be? Maybe it's somebody who looks like him. So they brought the formerly blind man to the temple to ask the Pharisees, the local leaders. Some of these Pharisees were members of the Sanhedrin, the group that would soon crucify Jesus. The backstory on this is that just the day before, Jesus had gotten into it with these same Pharisees. It started when they brought a woman caught in the act of adultery, and they challenged Jesus, saying, "She's a sinner. The law says, stone her. What do you say?" Well, you know the story. Jesus forgave her. Well, then things escalated after that. In the ensuing conversation recorded in John 8, Jesus identified himself as God. "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." The Pharisees, of course, went absolutely nuts at that, totally enraged that Jesus would claim to be God. So the next day, what we just read in John 9, a group of locals showed up at the temple courtyard wanting to talk with these same Pharisees about the man born blind, but now could see, because Jesus, the guy from the day before, had healed him. And a huge crowd gathered at the temple. The neighbors testified, the formerly blind man's parents testified, the formerly blind man himself testified. The end result was that the Pharisees condemned Jesus as a sinner, because even if he did heal the blind man, he did it on the Sabbath, and that's a sin. While they were at it, they also condemned the formerly blind man, too. There's a little bit for everybody. So here we have Jesus, the only person to ever walk the earth without sin, condemned as a sinner by the religious authorities in Jerusalem, the very same people who later arranged his crucifixion. You know, I started by telling the story of another religious authority, not a Pharisee, but the pastor of the largest church in the Northwest, who condemned a group of people as being sinful, and even condemned a business that cooperated with that group of people as sinful. Well, so what? Isn't that group of people sinful? Absolutely. And so am I. And so are you. And so is that pastor. And I'm not saying that anybody's sinful behavior should be condoned. Not at all. But here's the rest of that story. Just a few years after SeaFirst Bank issued an affinity credit card to the Seattle Gay Pride Group, that pastor who had so vociferously condemned that action was arrested in a public men's room in Florida for doing what they did in that public bathroom. In other words, the man who so forcefully condemned homosexual behavior struggled with that very issue himself. The point is, separating people into saint and sinner creates the mirage that some of us actually do keep God's law. But we don't. We're all simultaneously both saint and sinner. And we're called to see ourselves as we really are. The Apostle Paul hammered on this point in Romans 3. None is righteous. No, not one. No one seeks for God. No one does good. All of us, every one of us, is in the same boat. Jesus also emphasized that over and over and over. He brought it up in the parable of the prodigal son, in the parable of the good Samaritan, in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Over and over, Jesus tears down this distinction between us and them. There is no us and them when it comes to sin. We all sin. And understanding that is the beginning of repentance. You have been forgiven and redeemed by Christ. You're the recipient of His righteousness, imputed or credited to you. You're a sinner saved by grace through faith. And even your faith is a gift. a gift from God. So how do we react? Exercise your freedom. Freedom to quit hiding and pretending to be someone you're not. Freedom to be honest with God. Even be honest with others. Even when you can't let go of something really stupid that you did years ago and are still paying the consequences for. Even when you find yourself embroiled in a habitual sin, a shameful habit, or even when your anger is all too familiar to those around you. Even then, God offers healing and rest that comes from forgiveness. And you're forgiven. So be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion and mercy toward us, your sinful people. Lord, help us to rather than draw a line in the sand between us and them, help us to do what you have asked us to do, to love our neighbors as ourselves, knowing that we are thoroughly and forever forgiven by you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.